beings who fill the limited space and attain the state of unsurpassable enlightenment. And for doing so, we have to develop a commitment to strive for that goal with enthusiasm by studying, reflecting, and meditating on the true Dharma. And with this intention in mind, with this intention, supreme intention, which is called Bodhicitta, Ramachandra requests that we may listen to him. So for the attainment of, for really being able to attain this goal of supreme unsurpassable enlightenment, one needs instructions. One needs two types of instructions. One type of instructions being the advices to how one is able to stop or to cut or to avoid the extreme of worldly existence, and the other instruction is how to avoid the extreme of mere peaceful abiding. And from those two types of instructions, the instruction of contemplation of loving kindness and compassion is actually the one who is making us able to avoid the extreme of peaceful abiding. So what is loving kindness? What is a mind which is filled with loving kindness? It is a mind that wishes that all sentient beings, by focusing on all sentient beings and thinking, why is it not possible? Why shouldn't it be possible that all sentient beings meet actually supreme joy and happiness and the cause of happiness as well? And furthermore, then that mind or that attitude which thinks that may all sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering, that is called compassion. So since the practice of loving kindness and compassion, those two, is extremely important, Ramachandra says he will give the long day transmission of the chapters of loving kindness and compassion from the Jewel of Ornamental Liberation, and then we meditate a little bit and also give a little bit instructions on it. So when actually Ramji is giving the long, then what is your duty? Except of just listening, then she says it's also good to visualize in front of oneself in the space all bodhisattvas and buddhas and bodhisattvas assembled, and then thinking that one then concerning Lung Tapata, that one has actually one makes the kind of aspiration, or one fills oneself with a conviction that one has obtained this Lung from all buddhas and bodhisattvas in front of oneself in the space. That will be very beneficial. So while one is then receiving this long and one is hearing one pointedly, one is listening one pointedly to the sound, then one visualizes all these bodhisattvas and buddhas in front of oneself in the space, and then also they are radiating light from the bodies of the buddhas and bodhisattvas. Light is radiating from, in particular, the three places of body, speech, and mind. Then light is radiating and merging into our own body, speech, and mind. In that way, clearing away all obstacles and obscuration and defilements of our own body, speech, and mind, and making the blessing or inspiration enter our own mind.
So
this being the basic background visualization or setup of when one is receiving a loan, Numshi says, in general, it is like when one is receiving teaching, Dharma teaching, then it is advised that one should, during the teaching, one should visualize one's teacher as the Smanyushri, the embodiment of intelligence itself. So that will be, for this reason, if one does like this, then the inspiration will be much stronger. And so, in particular now, since this is the chapter of loving kindness and compassion, then one could also, Rinpoche says, like, think of the teacher as the being like Maitreya, which is the loving one, or Chenrezig. So visualizing the guru who is giving the loan as Maitreya or Chenrezig would be also very beneficial for the, receiving the loan on loving kindness and compassion. While receiving the loan, what one has to do is to listen one-pointedly to, means like focusing one's ear consciousness one-pointedly on the sound of the teacher voice, and without being distracted to anything else around. So in this way, then, while one is receiving the loan, one is also accomplishing samadhi. Now finished giving the loom for the chapters of loving kindness and compassion together with the loom for the Manjushri prayer.
Tene pena ninje ta samba de ninje nila tene semjin tsangme me ta samba da ninje ta chule me ta samba da ninje ta me ta me ta samba de ninje ninje de sone yeba.
So those the meditation on loving kindness and compassion was presented as having three kinds each. So we have one type of loving kindness and compassion focusing on sentient beings. We have one type of loving kindness on, which focuses on the characteristic of sentient beings, and we have another type of loving kindness and compassion which is non-referential without focus. So although we have those, we have this threefold division in both the chapter on loving kindness as well as in the chapter of compassion. So Rinpoche will give the explanation on this division with regard to the chapter on compassion.
Dongan also knows in Jin and Mingi. They can't do it. Dongan, Dongan, Joseph, Nada,
so then the first type of compassion is the compassion focusing on sentient beings. That means one focuses on all sentient beings, considering that under the influence of the mistaken belief in their existence of a personal ego or self and an entity in general, then through this mistaken belief all those sentient beings are suffering, stricken, and then one has the various kinds of sufferings, and one has the wish or develops the mental attitude that all those sentient beings may be free of this suffering and the cause of this suffering. So if like this, while meditating on some compassion, one focuses on compassion in the way that all sentient beings are suffering, stricken, because they are ignorant about that there is no self, and understanding that ignorance is the cause of suffering, and focusing with compassion on sentient beings having this kind of suffering, then together with compassion, there is also the seed of understanding what would be the way for liberation. The way to liberation is then to remove this, the cause of suffering, the ignorance. And so if one applies the meditation this way, then we have both the compassion and the seed for the path to liberation in the same meditation. So then, one wonders why clinging to the existence of the personal self is then the cause of suffering. One has to consider that it is through the idea of a personal self or ego as really being really existent that one is involved in the reaction pattern of aversion and detachment. So towards objects which appear to oneself as pleasant, one is attached, and towards other objects which appear as unpleasant, one develops aversion. For this goes back to the idea of the existence of a personal self. And once the aversion and attachment has taken place, then it is through aversion and attachment that one is then again involved in unvirtuous, various kinds of unvirtuous action which serve as a direct cause for suffering. So the second type of compassion is then the compassion focusing on the central characteristics of sentient beings. Explaining this with an example, then it is understanding that the reflection of a moon in water is not something stable. It is through the water being moved, the reflection itself is shaky and is changing and transforming in any second. And so likewise, all the sentient beings are of not a permanent nature. They're not permanent at all, but they're transforming any moment, and they're completely impermanent and unstable. And it's merely through not knowing this, not recognizing this constant change, transformation, that sentient beings cling to the permanence of themselves, and through the clinging to permanence they have suffering. So the second type of compassion then consists of the wish that one thinks, but may all sentient beings be freed from the suffering caused to the mistaken belief in the permanence of themselves. Why it is called Chulamepe Nyingye, so we all know this word now in Tibetan, or the compassion focusing on quality, it is because what is the Chö Chen, that which has the quality, the carrier of the quality, this is a sentient being, or all sentient beings are those carriers of that quality. What is that quality? The quality is being impermanent. So the impermanence is the quality that sentient beings are endowed with. So focusing on that quality sentient beings are endowed with, the impermanence, then this second type of compassion is called likewise the compassion focusing on essential quality of sentient beings.
Then in Sintje Matapa Laya, Rakta Matapa Tan, Travel Matapa Nilre, Rakta Matapa Sitte, lower the Tata Devo, you lower the Nanaya, Rakta Matapa, Shendrovatia, they Tata Matis on the day, Rakta Matapa. They told Lay Lawan Pong Lay Lawoy, Rakta Matapa. Then Travel Matapa, the Tok Kaleka, KKK, and the Kuranki.
So talking about impermanence, actually, so there are two types of impermanence, cause type, cause impermanence, and subtle impermanence. So we all know this now from the chapters, huh? But when she says then is the cause impermanence is then focusing on that sentient beings have feelings of pleasure and feelings of suffering, unhappiness, so pleasure changes in unhappiness and so on. And so this is cause impermanence, something which is visible directly. Also that a sentient being in itself is impermanent. Some person dies, we witness the death of somebody, so this is cause impermanence. Then the less obvious type of impermanence, the subtle impermanence, is then the momentary impermanence. So understanding that in any moment, not even in a moment, there is a sentient being abides in a certain way. It is constant transformance, like understanding that the sound of a finger snap even does not abide for even 1 second. So this is focusing on the
subtle impermanence of sentient beings.
So there is a quotation, a famous quotation from Nagarjuna in the 60 stanzas on emptiness, 60 verses, logical, 60 types of logical reasonings, and there he says, through knowing the arising, then we know the cessation. Through knowing the cessation, then jiva me jiva 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 knowing cessation, then one knows that there is impermanence. And if one enters into the understanding of impermanence, then one will understand the true Dharma, or the genuine reality. And this is then, if one explains this, and she says, one has to apply that on a momentary nature of phenomena, so moment by moment, a very subtle impermanence. So if one knows that something came into existence, one knows the arrival of something in one instant, then by this automatic one knows it will be impermanent, it will be, it has to cease, it will not be able to stay for the next instant, it has to cease again. So knowing then the cessation of that phenomenon that arose for in one moment, then one understands the impermanence, and this is then entering the true understanding.
So if one thinks about impermanence of sentient beings, then you have two types of, there's two aspects of sentient beings which are impermanent. Briefly, there is the mind of sentient beings is impermanent, and the body of sentient beings is impermanent. So being like this, then there is then understanding that, like analyzing that in the way described, that by arising and knowing the arising, then through the arising knowing the cessation of any moment, and through knowing the cessation of anything in any moment, then there is no is impermanence, and then really understanding the subtle impermanence in the way that even the sound of a finger snap is not able to stay for one instant, so it's constant change. Then one finds that in a very subtle analysis that one can divide those instants limitlessly. One can analyze them to a limitless small instant of time, and one will find there is nothing really what one can point to still, one can refer to as really existent. So in understanding impermanence, then in that very, very subtle way, then one will find there, in a subtle way, impermanence doesn't exist either. There is nothing really existing as such. So then, understanding the impermanence of sentient beings in body and mind, in this very, very subtle way, one finds that the very nature of sentient beings is emptiness. So in this way then, although the sentient beings with regard to the way they appear, and their mode of appearance, they are impermanent, they show impermanence. With regard to their very nature, they are beyond impermanence, there is emptiness. So, in the Buddhist tradition, we have this contemplation on impermanence. The contemplation of impermanence is presented in the way that we first contemplate on the cause impermanence, the visible, obvious impermanence, and secondly, we proceed to the subtle type of impermanence. And then, understanding now in this way, then it leads to the understanding that finally the nature of phenomena is beyond impermanence, it's emptiness. So, the contemplation of impermanence is something that it is in itself a path which leads to the understanding of the ultimate truth of that phenomena are beyond impermanence and empty in nature. If, on the other hand, the meditation or contemplation of impermanence would not point to this ultimate nature of phenomena, then it would just be like considering the relative type of impermanence, then the whole contemplation of impermanence would just serve for us as something to frighten us. Eh? It would just create fear and terror of constant impermanence, and would have no lasting value in terms of understanding of ultimate
truth.
So then there is a quotation from the great master of yogis Milarepa saying that understanding that
understanding that
actually he said it in his meeting, he uttered this in his meeting with Padamba Sanje. So and he said understanding that the mind is unborn did not have any true arising, that the mind did not have any true arising, one understands that the mind is without death or cessation, and understanding this again, then this frees oneself from the concepts of our birth and death. So first then we contemplate impermanence, then we start out with the cause type of impermanence, and the reason to do so is then to remedy our belief in existence of ego or self. So the cause type of impermanence will make us frightened. So what does it frighten? It frightens actually our ego clinging. So we start out with contemplating cause type of impermanence to cause a certain fear in ourselves, so frightening our ego clinging, and then we proceed to a more subtle type of impermanence, and finally then we have to carry this meditation contemplation of impermanence until the understanding of emptiness, which is beyond impermanence.
Then, Madhava Gombe, Jikajina, Danzin, Jikajiva, Danzin, Tanya, but the Danzin called the Magic Savan. Danzin called that.
Through the contemplation of impermanence, we get frightened. We have fear. Then, what is frightened is actually our ego clinging. That's very good, because this ego clinging is that which causes us all this trouble. So we should maybe
frightened.
Sometimes they see the instruction, also the oral instruction, that once in a while one has great difficulties, one is suffering, speaking, and one should think that actually what has the suffering is this ego clinging. So one develops the idea and say, oh well, that's fantastic, it's a very good coincidence. So you suffer in clinging, you actually need this, you need this difficulty. So thinking in this way, then rejoicing in that the suffering, the ego clinging really got what it need, the suffering, then this is one advice in the oral transmission. So then we have the third type of compassion left, which is called by name the one which is without reference or without focus. And Ramji says to give rise to that third type of compassion, one has to realize the emptiness, the natural emptiness of phenomena. So when unless one has realized this natural emptiness of phenomena, then one will not be able to give rise to this third type of compassion. So then, again explaining that with the example of the reflection of moon and water, and first we had this related to the image of the moon and the water being constantly changing due to the water being not stable, and so then understanding that on top of being constantly changing, having no consistent appearance at all, then on top of that one understands that the reflection of the moon is not true. It is just a reflection, so it has no true existence. So understanding that there is no true existence in phenomena, then which is the understanding of a natural emptiness of phenomena, although they appear, then one has naturally compassion towards all sentient beings that are involved in suffering by believing in the reality of phenomena. So if there is a direct experience, a direct realization of emptiness, then in this moment also the non-referential compassion is born.
So
So why is this called the compassion without reference? It's because when one has understood, realized directly emptiness, then one has no longer any point of reference, as there is existence or non-existence, the having real objects or the absence of real objects. So nothing of this exists anymore. There is no point of reference in terms of the extremes of existence, non-existence, and so on. So for that reason, it's called the non-referential type of compassion. So this has been expressed in the Mahamudra prayer by the Satkama Parangson Dorje, where it says so in that very moment when the unbearable compassion, which has overwhelming unbearable compassion, is not obstructed in any way, then at this very moment, then at this very moment, then understanding that without the compassion being obstructed in any way, that the it is empty of nature, then the realization of the emptiness of this compassion is arising nakedly, and may I be able to meditate on the day and night on this supreme path, which is without any kind possibility of being misled or error.
The Nerang Tony Nansom to talk because the same thing, let's have a Ningi Kimbo, the Ningi Ningi Kimbo. Tell you to send Carras and Nerang Tonga Ningi Tonga Nansom to talk, the Ning Dong Nanga Shava Tamba Dela Tamba Topa Capso, the Ning Sim King Nam to Donga De, Triple Donga in Bangoso, Namu Kimbo Yore.
So he said that this type of compassion arises naturally at the moment when emptiness is realized, and it is because when one realizes emptiness, then at this moment all the problems for oneself are eliminated, and one obtains the true inner peace and happiness, and having obtained this blissful state without any problem for oneself, one realizes clearly and can see very clearly that what is problem to sentient beings, it is just merely to ignorance, due to not understanding. And so for that reason, one develops, there is spontaneous compassion taking place at this moment.
Tony Topi Hirak Ki Ningi Tan Mangapa, Tony Tony Ningi, Sondo Joko, Tedago, Tony Ningi, Sondo Joko Lante, Dora Matanin Kundo, Gombatos of Manataka.
So, and when this happens, it is that although there is unbearable, overwhelming compassion taking place, through this unbearable compassion, the intelligence that understands emptiness, the wisdom, is not obstructed, and although the wisdom understanding emptiness is arising nakedly, still the compassion, the overwhelming unbearable compassion, is not stopped or ceased in any way. So this one has the prayer that one may proceed and meditate on this path of the unification, simultaneity of compassion and wisdom, this path which is without error, when one wishes not to be separated day and night from this supreme
path.
context of explanation, then it is like focusing on sentient beings, and while then this, while the compassion arises with this understanding that the essence of the compassion, the essence of compassion is clarity and emptiness.
So being able to rest in the clear, empty nature of that compassion is then the unification of compassion and wisdom in the Mahamudra
division.
Rinpoche just now has given a short explanation of the three types of compassion. So now we should meditate a little bit on the three types of compassion.